Chapter 4, the book of Galatians. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit, then when ye knew not God, ye did services unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I bestow upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are, ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptations, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well yet. Yea, they would exclude you, but you might, that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondsmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was after the bondswoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is in his bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travaileth not, for the desolate has many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondswoman and her son, for the son of the bondswoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we're not children of the bondswoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. All right, Paul the Revelator. Paul is telling us here some things that we really need to know. I really need plenty of time to get in messages like this, get into them, but I don't have. It seems like we're always pressed for time. In the third chapter, Paul here is speaking to the Galatians, and he has reproved Peter. Peter, having followed the Lord Jesus Christ, giving him the keys to the kingdom, and him opening the doors to the Gentiles and to the Jews. All of a sudden, he gets a fear. He lets a fear come over him when some of the brethren come up from James. And with this fear, he begins to withdraw. He begins to withdraw from his steadfastness in the faith. One of the 12 apostles. This will show you how strong Lucifer is. Though Peter was the man that received the revelation of Christ himself. And here he is having problems. He got afraid. He began to withdraw. And he caused the other brethren to withdraw with him. And it displeased Paul. When Paul came along, he was highly displeased with it. And he said, Peter, why have you done this? That is, he withdrew. When the Jews came up, he got afraid. And he withdrew from the Gentiles. And Paul said, I blame Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. Saying to Peter, Peter, how is it that you, being a Jew, live after the manner of the Gentiles and not the Jews? He said, and now you withdraw as to the Jewish way of life, and you cause these people to withdraw. He said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God, Peter. He said, if salvation is by the law, then Jesus Christ died in vain, because we had the law to start with. And he reproved Peter because Peter got afraid. And that's just how strong that Satan is, and that's how easily he can overthrow you and how easily he can indoctrinate you with his thinking and his way of life. And before you realize what you've done or become aware of it, you will find yourself in a terrible circumstance and causing God problem and being contrary to the gospel. There's people I meet all over the world, and especially in America, that are highly religious people. People that started out in a good, godly way years ago. Even the movements, the religious movements that they're affiliated with started out in a good way. But they have become careless, and today they're proselytes. And today those movements are reprobate. And they're not teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But as Jesus said to them when he came, as concerning the doctrine of Moses, you teach for commandments the ordinances of men, and you lay aside the commandments of God. You strayed so far from those things that I gave Moses until you don't even recognize God, he could have said. God in humanity, in flesh. So then we see that reproving the Galatians, he said to them, he said, are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, that now you're made perfect by the flesh? Or are you so foolish, having repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and having gone forth in faith, being blessed of God, and these wonderful things that took place in your life, are you so foolish now as to begin to think that you can get into the glory world or into heaven by your natural doings or ritualistics or your practices as to the Jews or anybody else that would try to get to heaven on their natural ability out of works or their own accord? It really upset the people. Paul said, you can't do that. And then he asked, he said, and the miracles that has been worked among you, he said, did these come unto you by the law or by the hearing of faith? Have you received your healing by the law or by the hearing of faith? And these other people that received their healings and miracles, did they receive them by the law or by the hearing of faith? And he said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ evidently was set forth and crucified. Then he said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. All right, so let's don't frustrate the grace of God. Let's take the word of the Lord and let's believe the word of the Lord. He goes on to tell him here, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, whereas we were heathens, you know, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. How do you remember when the angel of the Lord came down and spoke to Abraham? And how many of you remember when the Lord himself came down? It said, and the gospel, the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham. Or that is to say, the word himself coming down in flesh. And in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, I made the statement the other day. I said, a lot of people don't believe in curses. And they don't believe in blessings. And they don't believe that the minister has the power to curse. And they don't believe that the minister has the power to bless. The Bible said, whosoever sins he remits shall be remitted. Whosoever sins he retains shall be retained. Jesus said, it's my Father, the great eternal spirit, has sent me to do a work. So have I sent you to do a work. That if you remit sin, they'll be remitted. If you retain sin, they'll be retained. And judgment will begin at the house of the Lord. And that it's not the minister speaking, but it is God speaking from within his bodily temple. All right. Everyone that is not born again, everyone that is a sinner is under a curse. You know, somebody said, well, you can't curse me. That's witchery. Talking about cursing people. Folks, you're already cursed. When you're born into the world, you're born under the curse. You're under the curse. The curse came down through Adam and Eve, and it was said to them that the day that thou eatest thou shalt surely die. And they went under a curse. And ever since then, the Lord has had them under a curse. And that is to say their seed. And it was said of the Old Testament in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy that cursed is he as he set before them a blessing and a curse. And cursed is he if he doesn't do what the law says to do, to continue in all things to do those things. And blessed is he that if he does. And of course, as it was said, Paul said, the Lord has given to you people the law, and none of you keep it. So all of them was under the curse. All of the Jewish people were under the curse because none of them kept the law. But you and I are not under the curse because we're born of the Spirit. And the righteousness of the law is fulfilled within us. And we're delivered from the curse. So this is why the Bible uses the terms here that we're justified by faith. And it tells us that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to deliver them that were under the law. We were children. He said, even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Before we ever came to God, we were under bondage to the elements of the world. By my human senses, my taste, my smell, my feel, my sight, my hearing. By my human senses, I was under bondage to the things of the world because my body survives by means of the things of the world. And I did not know life in any other manner. And all I could think of was the things of the world. All that I desired, all that I wanted to do was the passions of my human being as to eat and drink and whatever the world called for because I was in bondage to it. A lot of you are still in bondage to it. You know, I know a lot of you act like you're not, but you really are. A lot of you are still in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world. You've never been born again. See, for you not to be in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world, you've got to be born again. And you've never been born again. Did you know it's just been in the last little bit that numbers of people, different ones have come to me, or either sent me word by someone else, and they'd say, Brother Pike, I am now of the opinion that I've never been born again. I'm now of the opinion that I saw, there's two of them I believe just yesterday. And I'm now of the opinion that I've never been right with God. I've never had that experience with God. Though I've been going on for years in religion. And this is why that I'm having my problems. And you know it's true. It's true. You might have an experience with God, but there is a world of difference. Nothing less than a world of difference. Like I believe it was the other night. I believe it was Paulette. My wife was telling me that she'd had a dream. And in the dream, I'd said some things to the people about not being hungry and not hungering and thirsting after the things of God. This ties in with what I want to say here. And she was shocked when she come to the church and found out that was exactly what I said to them. And I had also commented concerning her family. Well, I understand that it shook Paulette up so much that the last time I heard, my wife was telling me she hadn't eaten any food for a couple of days because it had shook her up so much, knowing that God was speaking. And on the dream or whatever it was went, the night vision, as to say, and you people are hindering me in reaching the lost for Jesus, or hindering me in my service, though you even follow me, it still hinders me. See, why does God allow that? It's because Many of you are not right with God. Many of you have never been born again. You sit in the seat of the scornful. You stand in the way of sinners. Your delight is not in the laws of the Lord, neither in the law of the Lord do you meditate day and night. You draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy, and the joy of the Lord, that's our strength. So we find here that in the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, and made under the law. The Jews had a little word they called the moed, which has to mean the time appointed. So as to the time appointed, then comes the Savior. Now, what is meant by the fullness of time? The fullness of time as concerning the promise. For the promise was, and as unto thy seed, Abraham, not as of many, but as of one, even Isaac. That in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Or as unto thy seed, Abraham, that the time will come when all nations shall be blessed through thy seed. Now, when we think of that, we know that was Christ Jesus. That all nations should be blessed through Christ Jesus. And yet we say it has to be Christ Jesus because Isaac died. And yet we don't understand that all nations are also blessed through Isaac. It is through Isaac that there comes this great, wonderful Jewish nation that will rule and reign 1,000 years throughout the millennium. And through that comes the patriarchs. And through that comes the blessing of God right on down. And through this royal seed comes Jesus. So we find that God has said the fullness of time. Or that is to say, when the time come, to whom the promise was made as to the seed being born. And it was at Calvary that this happened. I brought this out before to you in a little teaching. And that is to say that men have always been under sin since the day of the transgression, when Eve transgressed. From that time on, it went to Adam. And then after that, men have been under the curse. I could say many, many, many things tonight, enough to write a book. But we only have a few minutes to say what we have to say. So then, the Bible said, and from Adam all the way down, sin reigned over the people. Coming on down to Moses, it reigned over the people. Though they'd never transgressed the law as to having a visual thing of the law or having an understanding of the law, they'd never transgressed at the similitude of Adam. But yet death was upon them and they didn't know why they died. And the more they learned about it, the more they died. The shorter their days were. And the more you learn about it today, you shorten your days by your disobedience. The more you honor God, the Bible said if you would see long life and good days, refrain your tongue from speaking evil. Don't let it speak any God. I would that you would honor and obey me, that it might be well with you and your children all the days of your life. We see that the law came, and when the law came, then sin was made known. And the law was added not for salvation, not to bring us grace, not to give us life. It was added because of transgression. It was added because of transgression, that is to bring forth the transgression to where it could be seen, to make it manifest. God measured Himself, as we would say, and gave us the understanding of His characteristics and His ability and His righteousness and His holiness and engraved it in stones as law, so that we could discern what kind of God that He was. And with this great, wonderful enlightenment, Paul said, I was alive until the law came, and when the law came, sin revived. And that which was ordained unto life, I found to be unto death. And sin, taking occasion by the law, slew me. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. And that which I do, I allow not for, and that which I would not do. Paul said, that's what I do. See, I see a law within my body, within my members warring against the inner man as to the law of my mind. And not only warring against me, but it brings me into captivity. to the law of sin and death. This death or this iniquity which works in my body, for within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Oh, wretched man that I am. Paul said, who's going to deliver me from this? I can't find a way out from this. And I say this to you so often. The Bible said what the law could not do because it was weak through my flesh. And yet the law was not weak. It was my flesh that was weak. But the law being weak through my flesh, I could not perform that. God, seeing that, sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and condemned sin in the flesh once and for all at Calvary, as it was said of the angel to Daniel 483 years later. Messiah made an end of sin. And he came and he died for me and was delivered from my offenses and raised again for my justification. Went to Calvary and suffered the way he did to let me know that God was that angry at me and that God was smiting me, that that's the way God felt about me. And then resurrected from the dead to show then, after that I'd been punished, what God thought about me now as to peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Always a one good attitude from God toward us. Never altered, never changed. Always one attitude toward us in Christ. Peace on earth and goodwill towards you folks from God. We now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in that he was raised for our justification. As going to Calvary proved that we had to die, and being raised from the dead proves that we die no more. Because God isn't angry at us anymore. There's no sin to us anymore. And the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. And so the inner man is without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And God is coming back after that church, even the body, that is going to be without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. In that the body is the church, and it's the purchased possession. And God is going to change it because of the inner man being pure and holy and godly. In that the Bible said we should serve God in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. This body, at the coming of the Thessalonian change, will in a moment be changed in a twinkling of an eye into the perfect celestial church, as to a body without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish or any such thing, but very bright of Almighty God. That is, it will go back to the originality as to the Son of God when he was the Son of God, as Adam in the garden, as to say, and Adam made in the image of God himself. As to the Son of God, that image was lost through the fall, in that Adam was not in the transgression, but through the weakness of the woman, as to say, the flesh. Then it was lost. And when he was redeemed from the flesh, the last man, Adam, he made a quickening spirit, bringing it back as to the mystery of God, back to the spiritual image in which Adam was made, as to the illumination. Today we're born to that, and today we're back in the original image. And that is the image of the Son of God. And the last Adam was made the quickening spirit. So then, coming as the first man, Adam, in the image of sin, letting God smite that, pacifying the wrath of God as the beast image which had failed from the garden there because of the evil of that mind that had taken it, that nature that had taken it. And all down through the years, coming down to Calvary, and God called a man by the name of John, that's called in the Hebrew as the way that they speak of him as Joktan. And he come along and he laid the axe to the root of the tree and cut down the family tree of problems and sorrow and all of these things all the way back to the garden. And then the tree of life that was in the midst of the garden, that Son of God, not the woman as to the tree of death, but the man as to the sonship that was not in the transgression. That's why the Bible said, the man shall rule over thee, except in Christ. So then, when it comes over to the tree of life, then the second man, Adam, comes forth. And today we're regenerated by the washing of regeneration. We're born again. And today we're partaking of this wonderful tree of life. And today we're part of that tree of life. We are members in particular of that family tree. And he said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Or if they do this in a green tree. And all the trees of God are full of life or sap, the Bible said. So we see the wonderful mystery of God, how that God is also made, as Paul said, the Gentiles, fellow heirs with the Jews. So, saving by faith and saving through faith. One by faith and one through faith. So we see then that the fullness of time come. The law added because of transgression until the seed should come unto whom the promise was made. And so then here comes the seed, Jesus Christ. Not as seeds as of many, but seeds as of one. The promise not as unto seeds of many, but as the one, even Christ in you, the hope of that glory. And if you're not the body of Christ, if you're not the membership of Christ, then you're not born again. Then you're not heir to the glory, because the glory is only to Christ. For he alone was made heir to the glory of God. And he within you is hope, the hope and the only hope of that glory of God, as that which he appeared in when he appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration between Moses and Elijah. All right, so then we see that we are living in a beautiful day, a glorious day. For the Bible said God looked down from heaven at a set time or a time appointed as to the Moed. And he looked down at this particular time, and at the time desired, he succored us, or he saved us. Or the Bible says he heard the groaning of the prisoners and loose them that was appointed unto death. That is to say, the time appointed or the time that God accepted was that moment of righteousness when Jesus redeemed us at Calvary. That was a moment accepted. We were accepted through the Beloved, which was his son Jesus. And at that time he succored us and gave us of his spirit and gave us of his nature. And if we have not his spirit, then we're none of his. One spirit, many operations. So then we see that God has saved us in the fullness of time. When the fullness of time came, which was at Calvary, then God saved us. He succored us in the fullness of time. He saved us in the fullness of time. The Son came, made of a woman, made under the law. The fullness of time then was that Moed, as to the promised moment, when God said, and when the seed shall come. Or when the seed was made of a woman and made under the law, the appointed time. So we see then that God has brought us to this wonderful fullness of time. The fullness of time. What is the fullness of time? Read Revelation 10. And the Bible said to the angel, set one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, raise his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. The time should be no more. This great mighty angel that stood there with his head way up in the heavens as to the rainbow over his head, and his feet way down in the earth as onto the water and onto the land, there stretched out as his hands this way, we say, as his head this way, as his feet this way, as a great and a mighty star, as a great and a mighty illuminated star. So then we see that we are now in the fullness of time. I'm already in the fullness of time. I've already been born again. I've already passed from death unto life. I've already come into this perfect liberty of God, where God has already secured my soul forever. He has already sealed me on the inside to where Satan can never touch me. He can never even touch me. Somebody said, I'm afraid the devil will overthrow me. How can the devil overthrow you when he cannot even touch you? How can the devil put your light out when darkness and light hath no fellowship? How can darkness put out a light? That's unheard of. That's absurd. Darkness cannot put out light. Light can scatter darkness, and light can cause darkness to dissipate. But darkness cannot put out light. Now, when I say this, I speak as to you, as to natural people. And yet Paul said, trying to speak unto you as unto spirituals, that you might grasp by revelations or an allegoric expression what I'm trying to say as to the Spirit speaking to the church. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And these little things I say, when I say darkness and light, I'm speaking of your natural carnal mind. Because your mind is darkness because it's infiltrated with the powers of Lucifer and the mind of Lucifer. It's corrupt. But the mind of Christ is the mind of light. And if you're born again, then your mind is the mind of light. And your light, which is your understanding, your thinking, will dispel, it will eradicate, it will do away with every thought of Lucifer, every lustful thought, every evil thought, every gullible thought, everything that's temperamental, everything that's evil, everything that's ugly, it'll do away with it. The light will do away with it because light expels or eradicates darkness. But darkness cannot touch you. The Bible said God has sealed you inwardly with His Holy Spirit. And the Bible said you that are born of God, you keep yourself by your faith in God, by the seal of the Holy Spirit, you keep yourself and the evil one touches you not. For this reason, the Holy Spirit is my eternal gift that promised He'd never leave me nor forsake me. Lo, I shall be with thee always, even until the end of the world. So then if He's inside of me and if He'll never leave me, then I don't have to worry about Him leaving me. Now, someone said, well, Brother Pike, if you have to worry about you leaving Him. I do not have to worry about me leaving Him because I cannot leave Him. See, he that is born of God cannot sin. How can he then leave Him? And if he could sin, then he could die. But see, I cannot die because I cannot sin. And the reason for that is that I sinned in my father Adam as unto death. And I died unto God by the body of Jesus Christ. Now, I have been born again. I am a new creature now. This is a new creature, not that creature. This is a new creature. This is the Son of God now. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. He is born of God. The other could not do anything but sin because he was born of the devil. But see, we're not born of the flesh, we're born of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. And Satan saves the things that be of the flesh because that's beast realm. That's where man fell to from the illumination. We don't have time to go into that. It's the revelation. But anyway, I'm simply saying this, that now that we're born again, now that we're sons of God, then I can't fall away from God. I can't sin against God because as to my natural man that would sin the flesh, corruptible flesh, the body of this death, it's dead, it's gone, I'm dead. How can a dead man transgress the law and sin? He can't. See, I'm dead to the world and I'm dead to the law by the body of Jesus Christ. So Satan can never touch me. I keep myself by the Spirit of God and the power of God, which is the Holy Spirit, which means the Spirit of Christ. Satan cannot touch the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit overcame the angelic being Satan and overpowered him. And he is afraid to come near the Holy Spirit. So then my spirit is one with the Holy Spirit now. So Satan dare not come near it. And as to my body, as to me falling away from God, I'm dead. How can I fall away from God? How can a dead man fall away from God? I'm dead. I'm buried. I'm gone. As to the natural man, I'm gone. The body of that death is gone. It's not me living, but Christ. How can Christ then sin? Let's give the Lord a hand. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. All right. So we see that the fullness of time has come. When the fullness of time come, what did God do? He sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law. Now, if this is the fullness of time, and the seed to whom the promise was made is now come, then I am that seed. You are that seed. You're a bone and flesh of that seed. You're members of his body in particular. And the promise was made unto us. So then it is blessing, I shall bless thee, and multiplying, I shall multiply thee. And because I can swear by no greater God, said I swear by myself, that I'll not change, alter, or do anything to change this promise. Ordained in the hands of angels and in a mediator, Christ Jesus, our Lord. All right, so I'm just going to say one or two things more and then I'm going to close. So then I say this to you, that we are they that are living in the fullness of time. And because we're in the fullness of time and his spirit has now come, then we cry, Abba Father, Abba Father. For if we be children, then are we heirs and partakers of the divinity as to the divine nature of the Lord Jesus and as of to the eternal life and the eternal wealth in that he has given us all things that pertain unto life. And all things are yours and you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God. So he's given you all things. Therefore we are now in the fullness of time and we're now sealed eternally as to the inward man and we're simply waiting unto the change of the body, to wit, not to the redemption of the body, for it's already been paid for us to the purchased possession. That's why he died at Calvary. And the creature, which is the body, shall be delivered into, from the corruption into, the glorious liberty of the inner spiritual child of God, which is the sons of liberty, the sons of God. So then we're waiting to wit. That's what we're doing tonight. When the minister preaches to you, he is here to perfect your faith. Paul said, I wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. He's here to perfect your faith that you may come to the place that you might wit the redemption of your body. Or that is coming to the understanding, coming to the ability, coming to the place to grasp, coming to know. And I say this in closing tonight. Redemption of the body is as adoption. For adoption is by the law. And if you have adoption, you have to have adoption by the law. And for the body to be adopted, you must wait till the Jews come in. The Jews will come in. And when the Jews come in, the law will come back in. For that will be an earthly perspective. And when this law comes back in, then that means at that moment you'll have chance to be redeemed in your body. When I say redeemed, I mean to be changed. To be changed. So then the law will come. It will be restored. It's already been fulfilled for you and I. It'll not pass away till every jot and tittle is fulfilled, as the Bible says. But for you and I, Jesus fulfilled every jot and tittle. So then he fulfilled the law in our hearts so we can't transgress the law. It's already fulfilled. When it was fulfilled, it passed away because it had finished its course. It had done its work. Therefore, we cannot be a transgressor. It is Christ living on the inside that fulfilled that law and always daily fulfills that law, dwelling within us as God was in Christ. The Bible said reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. So then God being in me does not impute my trespasses as my natural man of faults and failures unto me, because that man is counted dead in the sight of God. And I am now body of the Lord Jesus Christ. God looks over the chasm of time and he sees way out yonder. He sees me changed as the body of the Lord Jesus. So Christ on the inside fulfills with a regularity through love that law. As God looks at him, it's perfect. That perfection is given unto me while my body faultily stumbles day after day as I perfect it. Bring it on to the transformation, to the change, to the conformity, to the surrender, to holiness. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord as to the change of the body. So then we see that outwardly we are perfect in his sight because we are the body of Christ. That's perfection. Inwardly we are perfect in his sight because it's not us living but Christ living. And that means that he hath perfected us or made perfect forever them that are sanctified. Having sanctified us once and for all by the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary, having delivered Christ Jesus for our offenses, raised him again for our justification, and now we are justified, sanctified, glorified. All right, justification, body, soul, and spirit. Sanctification, glorification. So let me say this. To where you can understand, when the Jews come, as the casting away of the Jews be to reconcile the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead or the end of the days of the Gentiles? The resurrection. That is to say, when they went out of the presence of God, revelation-wise, it meant the death of the body, that God would never see our body again. For they, as a membership, as the scapegoat, went into the wilderness. They went out. They went out. And the head of that membership went out with him, which was Jesus. When that head comes back and they accept that head, then the membership will come alive again. As to the wife to the husband, will come alive again. It will come alive again. See, when Jesus comes, the membership will come back to it. They will come alive. Because when the head went away, they killed the head, the body died. So that means that when the Jews come back, our body, which is dead in the presence of God, God had to let it be dead by the body of the Jews and by the body of Jesus. Had to let it be dead so he couldn't count sin against us. And so then he blinded them in part so they'd not know about this spiritual thing so he wouldn't count sin against them until the time of the opening of their eyes. So then we see they're up to Calvary as to that hind part and blinded as to this day of Calvary and the fullness of time. But when we fulfill this season, as the fullness of time, then that 7 years, as to the 483, will swallow up the church ages. The church age would be at an end. Come back and join itself to the 483. The 7 years will join itself hard to it. And then the church ages will be swallowed up and there will be no more. There will be no more. So that means that the 490 years that the angel told Daniel was determined upon his people, which is the Jews. Which is the Jews. Once that comes as to an end of that 7 years, the millennium comes in. But when that 7 years comes prior to the millennium, it will swallow up things, or that is, the church age will be at an end, and it will fasten itself to the 483 years, and when it does, that will be the end of the days of the Gentiles. And that will be the coming into the law, and then the body will no longer be considered dead, and the Jews will come forth unto life. And the veil will be taken from them, and that which they do not understand is from Calvary, as to the new world, the new age, then God will add that to them. And then they won't just understand the hind part, as from Moses back to Genesis, but they'll understand from Calvary, the beginning of the fullness of time, right on over to the Messiah appearing with the nail prints in his hands, as to a nation being born in one day. I hate to reprove you a little bit as I go along, but when I get toward the end of things, people get restless and they want to leave, or somebody who doesn't listen, doesn't pay attention, and is constantly, they let a devil in, constantly, to interfere with the anointing and the mind of Christ. Just constantly. And it's really aggravating, because Satan does that to my ministry with a regularity, just like Paulette's dream. You sit in my congregation and you hinder me in my ministry, was what the voice told her. See, and you do that being carnal-minded, because the carnal mind is enmity with God. And you do that because I can explain that to you here as to what is to be explained. But you do that because Satan uses you, knowing that I can't get out there and explain this to them people if it goes on tape, as to any means of confusion. They get it that way, or if there's a broken continuity of thought, and they get the thing all fuddled up in their minds, and I can't get to them, and I can't explain to them. But to you, you can get it. You know you can get it, because I explain it over and over, and sometimes you already know. And it really grieves me. It upsets me with you in a great way, and it upsets God with you, because you sit in the seat of the scornful, you stand in the way of sinners, and you're not delighting in the laws of the Lord, and you're not keeping your mind on Christ, you're not giving your flesh as to a surrender to Christ, to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. You let imagination run loose when the Bible said casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against that preaching or against the knowledge of God, bringing it into captivity to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. You should enter into the gates with thanksgiving, into these courts with great fear and reverence and praise, and sit there knowing that he is either remitting your sins or binding your sin, and he's sent there for the perfecting of your faith, and those little foxes that you let in will spoil your vines, and you'll find such gaps in your understanding that when you stand before God and you go to make the translation, you won't make the translation. You won't make it. You got too many gaps, too many broken things. You let your mind wander off too much, you interfere too much with the ministry. These things need to be precisely put on tape, so that they can be taken off by the ladies and put into print and sent all over the world to people that are hungry. You people are fortunate here. I say that to you too, so many times. You're fortunate. You don't understand that, but you're fortunate. It's just like the little article that was laying here tonight. Somebody wrote the little note. It comes back to my mind while I'm talking. You need to reverence. You need to fear. This little note was about a man that one time was here, that wouldn't listen, that went his way and done his own thing and run hard into what I was doing and hindered and wrecked a work in an area. Today he's reaping the benefits of it. He set up his own work. He set up his own foundation with the government. He took his people. It seemed to be a big thing. And I understand that he made many remarks, many foolish remarks about us in the ministry. But today he's in the hospital, and the situation is bad. And I won't say a whole lot more about it, so that way you won't know, unless you already know, or they've already told you. But anyway, I'm just telling you, you don't need to do that, because there's people right here that's in the same condition that he's in. In your spirit, you're the same condition. You're causing me the same problem and will come to the same end. It might be a day, it might be a month, it might be a year, it might be 5 years, but you're going to come to it. See, and I can feel you're a little grieved and a little rebellious now. You just eat that up when I was talking about the other. But when I get down to this, the rebellion comes out, see, because the devils that have hold of you begin to raise up, the old carnal minds begin to raise up. Because Satan is sully. He likes to stay right there with you and stay right there quiet. The Bible said he humbles himself. He humbles himself to try to get that knowledge of God to misuse it for his own benefit, like when he quoted the word to Jesus. See, and he wants that rain that comes down on the unjust. See, and he eases in there to get it. But when you go to reproving him, you go to casting out devils, you go to using the word, you go to preaching, then the wicked can't say to the congregation of the righteous. Then they fly up. When you go to trample the wheat, then the chaff flies up. Preaching a little bit now. See, and the chaff flies up and the winnowing wind just and out it goes. See, and I feel that old carnal mind. It'll lay sully in there and just pop up a little at a time. A little at a time, just to break like somebody jobbing something up in the electrical line to cause the light of the mind of Christ to go on and off. See, but nevertheless, I'm telling you this, that's a bad situation. Some of you done come to a bad end. Some of you just now coming to a bad end. Some of you's going to come to a bad end. So it's judgment time to bind your sins or to loose your sins. And when I say these things, I'm either binding your sins or loosing your sin. Because your carnal rebellion, your carnal mind, your carnal resistance causes me to curse you and causes you to have your sins bound to you. And your tender, wholehearted surrender of an immediate response in that the king's matter requires haste. To the word of God, that immediate surrender, that immediate breaking when you fall on that stone causes the blessing of the Lord to come upon you and cause me to bless you through the ministry. And there's no way in the world that you can get blessed the other way. No way. Go in the world, do whatever you want to. There's no other way that you can be blessed. You can't do it. You can go after the world, but you can't be blessed. Nobody can bless you. The preacher can't bless you, nobody else. It's got to be according to the formula. It's got to be according to the word. So then, I say this in the conclusion here, is that the Jews will come in. And when they come in, the law will come in. And when the law comes in, adoption is by the law. When you adopt a child, you have to adopt it by the law. It will signify the adoption, to wit, the redemption. Paul said it's to the adoption of sonship. And now, beloved, are you the sons? It does not yet appear as to what you shall be or what you shall look like when the adoption comes as to the change. But in Christ Jesus, in the mind of God, you already are. Now, beloved, the sons of God. All right. One of these days, the Lord will get weary of you not surrendering, and he'll cut you off. He'll cut you off. You'll find that you can't find him. You can be religious. You can belong to Bethlehem. You can come and listen to the preacher. And you can feel real good about the situation. But just as quick as you step out of this light, you'll be just a dead man, just a dead man. You won't have nothing but thoughts haunting you and wrestling with your thoughts and wrestling with your spirit, wrestling with your problems and the problems of your body, the problems of finance, the problems of your home, problems of your wife, children, problems of your husband, problems that will be driving you crazy in your mind of oppression and demon spirits that's questioning your salvation, that oppression and demon possession. And it'll eat you up because you didn't listen. All right, let's stand together. The Lord will take away the man of God, whether it be me or somebody else, and he'll leave, like the Bible says, as Jesus said, and your houses are left unto you desolate, that is, without the Spirit of Christ, until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. All right. I want to say again that we appreciate you coming tonight. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate you being with us. You need to really watch what you're doing. You really need to watch it. One of our black brothers tonight really hindered me. He didn't come in here with his mind on God. He didn't have his mind on God. And he sat here and he hindered my service. And he's one of the major problems of the little interference tonight. God kept it down to kind of a minor thing. And then some of you others that are not steadfast like you ought to be, you give place to carnality, and it's such an injurious thing. Such an injurious thing. And toward the end of the service, some of you sum up what you think that I'm going to say, and you feel like, well, you've done finished it out in your mind, and don't give me a chance to finish it out on tape and get it to the rest of the people maybe that don't know, even if you did know, or to get it on tape so the others can have it, and you just kind of close up, or you just turn everything off, as we say, or you're ready to go. And you are an enemy to God when you do that. And I can assure you, the mere fact that you do that proves that you're not straight with God. I don't care how much you've learned. I don't care how much you know. The mere fact that you do that toward the end of the service proves that you didn't have the Holy Spirit. That all you are is a reflector. You are a reflector. But a man that's got the Holy Spirit will hunger and thirst down to the last grain of wheat, as we say, and be right there to push, to shove, to press. The man that's got the nature of Jesus will stay with it till the blood runs out of his hand, till his sweat turns into blood. He'll stay with it till he breathes his last breath. He won't let up. He won't let up. Not at all. And if you faint in the day of adversity, then your strength is small, even if you have the Spirit of God. That is to say, when Satan's giving you a hard way to go, oh, when carnality arises. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. It's sad, as I said concerning the brother today. I prayed for him last night. I pray that God would work a miracle today. You know him very well, because there's no delight in my heart as to his heartaches and problems. Even though the things that's happening to him right now, X amount of months ago, I told my wife, I saw the vision of it. I told the brethren, I saw the vision, told him what happened. And so far it's happened exactly that way. Since they've taken him to the hospital, they're trying their best to do something about it. But it happened exactly according to the vision. But nevertheless, as I say, he had a chance to be blessed. He had a chance to be blessed. That brother had no time for me. That brother did not want to be reconciled to the brothers here at Bethlehem. That brother's made no effort whatsoever in any means of apology toward the brotherhood or to be reconciled, but has altogether kept the brethren away from the brethren here and went to other churches with them and split the brotherhood. The Bible said one thing that God despises is he that causes division by sowing discord. People gossip, backbite, say things, create distance. And the Bible said, move the talebearer, the strife will cease. But anyway, this brother, I understand, personally sent word that I should pray for him, which I've already done, which I've asked God for a miracle, that God will do something to help the brother. I trust to Almighty God that God will work a miracle for him, because what he's done to me, I have no feeling of animosity. I have no feeling at all toward him, no desire of vengeance. I have no feeling that he should suffer, that he should hurt, or anything should go wrong with him or his loved ones, nor with his way of life as to following God, if he truly follows God. I have no desire for anything to go wrong. That's not even important to me as to what he said or done about those things. All right. I just hope the brother well. Let's sing the little chorus together, friend. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as the eagle. They shall run not be weary, they shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Can you sing that with me? For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. They shall mount up with wings like
The eagle, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. If the world seems cold and your friends seem few, there is someone who cares for you. And if there's tears in your eyes and your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who cares for you. Can you say that with me? Someone who cares. All your burdens like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. He's your friend and he cares for. Sing it again with me. Someone cares. Someone to share all your burdens like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. He's your friend and he cares for you. When I'm tossed on my sea and the waves all cover me, and the dark clouds won't let the sun shine through. Sing that with me. Seems I hear a voice say, child, there'll be a better day. Don't allow us to hide, sweet heavens. Got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow, one more tear, one more curve in life's road. Got one more mile to go when you can lay down your heavy load. When you get home, don't let Satan see your tears. Try to smile away your fears. Just be faithful, walk the way. It'll be worth it all someday. Oh, it's all gonna be over after a while. Sing that with me, will you? You've got one more sorrow, one more tear. you got one. One more curve in life's road, just one more mile to go, when you can lay down your heavy load, when you get home. Sing it one more time.
You've got
one more sorrow, one more tear, one more curve in life's road, one more mile to go, when you lay down your heavy load, when you get home.
Let's sing this little chorus, can we?
I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, gave his son to die in their place. He gave his life on the cruel cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for his mercy. Sing it. Thank God, there's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see his sweet face. With him, my will there forever. Thank the Lord for his mother.
Sing that again.
Thank God. The Lord for his marvelous
wonderful grace.
I read where he said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Streets of gold, gates of pearl, with its pure walls of jasper. Thank the Lord. For his
marvelous grace.
Thank God. The bridge over the river. Someday I shall see his sweet face.
With him,
my will there forever. Thank the Lord.
Can you sing that with me? Do you really believe you're going to meet him? He's real.
Thank God.
There's a bridge over the river.
Let's give him a wave off.
Day I see his sweet face. With him, will there forever. Thank the Lord.
Can you sing one more time?
Thank God, there's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see his straight way. With him, I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Give me that old time religion.
Give me that
old time religion. Help me.
Give me that old
time religion. Cause
sing it with us.
Oh, give me that old time religion.
old-time religion.
Give me that
old-time religion. Oh,
really
that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion. And it's for me, I want that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion. Oh, it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that. It's good enough for me. It makes me sing when I get happy. Sing when I get happy. Sing when I get happy. And it's good enough for me. I want that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. You better get the old-time
religion. Better get that
old-time religion.
Better get the
old-time religion. It's good enough for me. We've got that old-time
religion.
Old-time religion. Old-time religion. And sing it with me one more time. We've got that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion. And good enough for me. You better get the old-time religion. Have you got the old-time religion? Can you say hallelujah?
Better get the
I feel the presence of the Lord. Don't you feel the presence of the Lord? That wonderful Holy Ghost religion. That's the old-time religion. Better get the Holy Ghost religion. Better get the Holy Ghost religion. Better get that Holy Ghost religion. Calls enough for me. You got that Holy Ghost religion.
I got
that Holy Ghost religion. I got that Holy Ghost religion. And there ain't nothing but the Holy Ghost religion. Holy Ghost religion. Holy Ghost religion. And it's all over me. I've got that Holy Ghost religion. Got him on the inside. Been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost.
Got that
Holy Ghost religion. And it's doing something for me. Let's give him a hand, can we? Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes as we sing together tonight. And I will praise Him, my. Will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. I'll give Him glory on eternal, for His blood has washed away every stain. While we're singing it, I will praise.
singing, I'm going to ask little Bill to come up and dismiss us if he will.
Pray the Lamb for sinners slain.
Sing that with me.
Let us give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away.
One more time together as Bill comes.